This is North Shore Today. Hi, everyone. It's Wednesday with Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell. And Rick, looking around the North Shore, the news, I guess we're looking for our warmest day yet so far in 2016 today, from what I understand. So that'll be great. So, nope.
Great for whom?
Forget skiing. Forget skiing, Rick. It's over.
Oh, right. It's done. I'm looking forward to next year now. I'm just, I'm on, let's get this season done, get into spring, and I'm looking forward to next winter. Maybe we'll have one next year, but absolutely bizarre. And I think this winter, from one of the stories I read, is the warmest ever on record so far.
Well, on our post here today, we have a couple of videos. We have let's point out what else we do have on our website here. But on our post, we do have a video on, I think it's what, International Women's Day. I think that was yesterday. So there's a little video on that. And we also have, with all the politicians and all the ads and it's all coming to a head here, this primary race, races, I should say. We have a video, an old video, and I don't know how old it is, but from Bob and Ray on their school on how political candidates should contact them so they can get on TV. So it's an old Bob and Ray bit, and it's a video. And I don't know how old it is, but I think they're made up to look with hair and different things, which they never used to have. But anyways, it's Bob and Ray, and it's we have that. And we featured them a few weeks ago, and thought we'd bring them back a little bit. So we've got that on the website as well. Plus, we also have Congressman Moulton had the small business hearing at Lynn City Hall yesterday. So we have his complete release on our website on that. So if you want to read that, that is available as well. But he was at Lynn City Hall yesterday, where it's a testimony and different things. So we have that complete story as well on our website today.
Yeah, and not a lot going on Cape Ann. There's an article by Ray Lamont in the Gloucester Times about the Fuller School money to be used for affordable housing. Areas are spending $5.6 million, and I guess $1.5 million will be earmarked for 50 housing units for seniors and veterans, if all goes well. And then there's an article coming out of the State House. I don't know if you saw that, but there's a move afoot, as they say, to have nonprofits start paying some taxes in some kind of formula. And in Gloucester, I think, let me just get the page here, if I can just turn the page. There's a table in here of towns, cities and towns in the area on how much the land is assessed for. And in Gloucester, the total assessment is $5.3 billion with a B. Hello? And of that, $441 million is tax exempt. So that's about 7.6%. So not a huge number, but when you take 7.6% and get $400 million out of it, that's fairly significant in terms of taxes. And the biggest percentage is actually Salem. The land in Salem is assessed at $4.2 billion, but of that, $678 million is tax-exempt, almost 14%. So that could be something to keep an eye on if that, in fact, has changed in the future. And I never quite understood the whole idea of nonprofits. I don't quite understand that.
Yeah, because a nonprofit, and I skimmed that story. I think I saw it the other day, and that, a nonprofit, can be a church, right? Which you would, those churches usually have some very small margins for getting by, and so that would impact them, I would think, quite a bit. But on the other
hand, churches are supposed to remain exempt according to what's being planned.
Oh, I got you. Okay, so we're talking about more like hospitals then, probably something like that, right?
And I don't know, are YMCAs nonprofits?
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, and that's another one. I mean, they make a lot of money, those people, so I don't quite understand that, but I'm totally ignorant in that regard.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much they make, but you're right. But I mean, a hospital would be might be something to take a look at if that's the case, because that's and again, I'm speaking. I haven't really read that story, but I think that's the one. I thought I saw hospitals would impact on that, and if that's the case, of course, Salem has a kind of a large swath of hospital land right there in Salem for sure. So and have had that, so that might be something. And again, they're talking about a percentage, so it might not. It's certainly something worth looking at. So.
Right. Well, the other thing, you know, Heather Atwood is a contributor for us on North Shore Today and on our website. She is a food writer and author, and she has a column in the Gloucester Times from time to time, and she has a major article today called Remembering Nancy Reagan and Her Monkey Bread. So she actually has an article in here about Nancy Reagan's monkey bread and a recipe as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah, monkey bread. That's not bad. That's not bad stuff. Yeah. So
first time I've ever heard of it. That shows you my culinary background.
Oh, no, I've heard of it. I didn't. I never thought of monkey bread with Nancy Reagan. I didn't know that one. So, but Heather Atwood would know that stuff. That's the kind of stuff you. That's the kind of stuff we pay her the big money for, Rick. So she can. So we can hear about that kind of stuff. That's for sure. But
Nancy Reagan brought monkey bread, that tender, buttery loaf of bread with a surprising architecture, to the White House, where it grabbed the attention of cooks nationwide, and its appeal has never really waned. So Nancy Reagan is a big promoter, or was a big promoter, of monkey bread.
It's funny, when you think of food and presidents, you know, I think of, you know, President Reagan had the jelly beans, right? What, didn't he have the jelly beans?
And, yes.
And then I think of George Herbert Walker Bush as the guy that didn't like broccoli. That, you know, that, and it's funny, that's all I remember, you know, for
food.
Oh, wait.
Food. Well, there's one more. Ronald Reagan declared that ketchup is a vegetable.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That made my life simpler, I'll tell you.
Yeah, just pour it on. There you go. That's right. Well, anyway, the difference, a little difference between the two White Houses then and now, I suppose, as far as advocating for healthy food, I guess, but whatever. So,
well, the other image that comes to mind is John F. Kennedy's administration, the galas that they used to have, the banquets that they would have in their white tie and tux and so on. I do remember seeing pictures of those.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, if anything, I think probably Nancy Reagan would be credited, if we're going there, to bringing that kind of stuff back to the White House that kind of left for a little while. Because after all, how can you really be a social, set the social standards if you're from Texas, like Lyndon Johnson was, or Jimmy Carter, who, you know, to his credit, for one thing, I think he kind of downplayed the pomp and circumstance of the White House, and I give him credit for that. But Nancy Reagan brought it back, and so be it. It is
yep.
It is the bully pulpit, I suppose, of the United States. So having lived through those years, there were, you know. I don't know. I what's funny is that stuff really has nothing to do with the governing of the country. But yet it was, you're right, it does bring an appearance of whatever. And that stuff seems to be back at the White House again. So.
Yeah, it's hugely symbolic worldwide. And so, you know, whatever public relations are coming out of there are seen all over the world as a symbol of who we are. So whoever's in there, you know, it takes on your personality, and the country sort of gets identified with what goes on at the White House.
Well, I came home last night. We have our sports to talk about. We also have Mayor Ted Betancourt from Peabody. We'll have an interview with him coming up in this program. But I came back, and I flipped on the election returns, Rick. And I got to say a couple things here. So there's really not a lot of surprises here. Well, actually, there is some news, I think. The two big states last night were Mississippi and Michigan. And Donald Trump won both of those on the Republican side. Over on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton won huge in Mississippi. But Bernie Sanders won in Michigan last night, and that was a major upset. And I think what you saw there was Michigan, I guess like New Hampshire, is an open primary state. So independents could flood in and support Bernie Sanders. I suppose that's one of the things that happened. But there was a lot of different districts, and I was watching the analysis that obviously Bernie Sanders way outperformed those recent polls, and so he won. And I think the disappointing person on the Republican side had to be Marco Rubio, who kind of came in and just did not have it last night and has really tailed off from Saturday elections to the Tuesday election. So we'll see what happens there. Florida comes up next Tuesday. That'll be a huge one. But then there was talk about him getting out because not his campaign. And so Marco, don't come down at us here. But from others saying that if he wants to run for governor, he can't lose Florida next Tuesday. So he may, you know, he may see some writing on the wall here. We'll see what happens with Marco Rubio. And, of course, I haven't watched the news yet. He probably already dropped out. But no.
Well, the
Oh, are you there? I'm sorry. I think we lost you here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello. Go ahead. Yeah, go. Okay, go. We got you.
Still have me? Just looking at the total count, and it's interesting on the Republican side that Trump at the moment has fewer than 50%. He's under 50% in terms of total delegates, and I don't know what that means going down the road, because everything I read indicates that he is the perceived candidate, that he will get the nomination.
Well, I think what you have is a situation where, let's say you lump Trump and Cruz together as sort of the candidates that are drawing the ire or drawing the people that are really upset and really want to turn Washington upside down, inside out, or whatever. And they're getting like 75% of the vote, two-thirds, 75% of the vote in some cases in these primaries. And that is significant. And I think what I can't see happening, and I know there's a lot of bluster, but I thought Trump's, I was doing our work for the website last night, Rick, and I'm watching the speeches, and Donald Trump is on. And, he's just, he's a guy that takes two steps forward and then one step back, all the time, it seems like. And so, I always enjoy listening to the analysis of the different people, but he's a little hard to analyze, and a lot of folks just can't really wrap their hands, wrap their thoughts around what this guy's been able to accomplish, because he's actually accomplished an awful lot. But yet, on the other hand, he still says this stuff. But he's clearly doing right now is becoming a softer, gentler Donald Trump and trying to bring people together within the party. Whether it works or not, we'll see what happens. I'll be honest with you, I think it will work eventually, because I think that these people, if you're a Mitt Romney or, somebody like that who spoke out a week ago, you're going to be a part of the 25% and not the part of the 75%. So you become irrelevant, and you decide whether you want to be relevant or irrelevant, and we'll see what happens. Having said that, though, still could be a huge fight down the road with Trump and Cruz. So all that is to be resolved over the summer, I think, and beyond. But we'll see what happens. It's I really got to give, I flip around the different channels sometimes, but I really like this guy, the guy on CNN. I can't think of his name, Rick, but it's not Wolf, but I think it's John or somebody. But he goes to the board and he points to the different counties and cities and towns that, with the vote totals and different things. He does a great job, and they have their stats arranged very well, so they can pick and choose and see where the votes are in and where they're out, and they know those districts. And they actually, come election night, when you're trying to break down what's happening in a small state, because what was happening last night in Michigan is that Bernie was up. He was up by 4 points. And again, what we've talked about earlier this year is that it's amazing how those numbers don't change. Like Bernie was up around 52%. Hillary was at 47, 48%, like a 4-point bulge for so long, when the vote was 10% in, 25% in, and so on, all the way up to about 75%. Then she closed it to within a point. Then it broke back out to like the 2 or 3 points or whatever. But they were able to, they were able to really analyze where the votes were coming from. And I've watched them in the past. I think I watched them in 2012 that night, and they actually do a really good job on that piece.
Well, you know what? It's a long way to November, but it's going to go very fast.
I think it will, too. It's amazing how fast it's all going. All right, we've got, so we'll check in on some other things. We got Mayor Betancourt from Peabody up, and then we'll check on sports here on MSO News Sports, and this is North Shore Today.
In the office of Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt, and Mr. Mayor, I don't want to say anything knocking on wood here, but most of the snow season is gone. That's probably a good, I see a little smile on your face.
Yes, a big smile on my face. No, every day we get closer to spring is a day that I'm very happy, and we deserved a kind of a more mild winter after last year, so very pleased about that. It helps a number of levels, certainly our budget. It helps, I think, just with everybody's feeling and personality. I think people are happier.
Except one guy who wants to ski, but I'm not going to mention who that is. New personnel at City Hall in the Office of Human Resources?
Yes, we hired a terrific lady to come in as our new Human Resources Director. We've been very fortunate the last 3 or 4 years. We had Karen Boudreau as our Human Resources Director, a terrific, talented lady, retiring, a well-deserved retirement. And we hired Beth O'Donnell. Beth is a Peabody resident. She's a an attorney who did a lot of work in labor and employment law, and I think she'll be a terrific fit here, and already she's doing well, jumping into contract negotiations, health insurance, everything.
Which, in terms of budget, is probably a good thing to have another hand.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's someone who's worked with us on a number of issues in the past. She's been a part of our liquor licensing board. She's been a part of our Peabody Downtown Action Team. Has been a member of the planning board. Just somebody who's been very active and hands-on with the city of Peabody, and I'm very excited to have her with us.
I wanted to talk with you before the special election that just took place for representative, but didn't get a chance. However, I found it fascinating, Mr. Mayor, in that as we've talked once before, I have no idea generally in local municipalities and local elected officials as to what party they belong they're in. However, this one brought out some heavyweights, and maybe give a little reflection on the experience, because I know the governor was in town and you had people, you were campaigning as well, if I could use that word. So maybe a little reflection on that.
Sure. It was a very important race for the city of Peabody. We had the seat has been a long time Democratic seat. A couple years ago, we had Joyce Spiliotis, who was a wonderful state representative for us. She passed away, and we had to have a special election. And we had a Democrat running, a Republican running, and an Independent running. And really, it got split three ways. And Republican Leah Cole won the seat. She held that for about 2 years, and then she resigned the seat late last year in order to pursue her educational. She's looking to become a nurse. And so we had a special election, and I think there was strong feelings on both the Democrat side and the Republican side to get that seat, and brought out a lot of heavyweights. We had the governor in town at an event for the Republican candidate, Stephanie Peach. The Democratic side had had the Attorney General, Maura Healey, who was terrific, and also Senator Ed Markey came to town. So there were a lot of rallies, a lot taking place. I supported Tom Walsh, who won the election. And more not so much in terms of party. I was more interested in just the person. Tom Walsh has been a longtime friend. He serves on the city council for a number of years, and I know what a hardworking, talented person he is. I didn't really know the Republican candidate very well. I've had the opportunity to meet with her and talk to her a little bit. She seems very nice. Mm-hmm. I think she'll be someone that will be involved in the years ahead. But I supported Tom because I know him personally, and he's been a very strong advocate for the city. But yeah, it was a lot of action in town.
Yeah, that was pretty fascinating. And in the most recent primary in Massachusetts, I got overwhelmed with Republican robocalls, and I'm just wondering, did the city of Peabody, did the political parties get involved in robocalls during that time of the special election?
Oh, yes, there were robocalls. There were a number of flyers, both from the candidates, but also from, I think, some PACs and the parties, mm-hmm. were heavily involved in. I think a lot of money came in from the outside and definitely played a role.
We didn't talk about this beforehand, but just a quick comment on robocalls. I mean, you've run for mayor, you've been an elected official for a while. What advice do you get, or what experience have you had with robocalls in terms of the political process?
I find robocalls to be very annoying, but I do think I do think it's one of those situations where candidates really to try to cover all their bases and try to reach out to as many people as they can to show that they're running an active and an active campaign. I think that is something that candidates, not in every election, but it is something they have to do. I think particularly for new candidates to try to get their name out, that's the way to do it. But, yeah, they can be annoying when they keep coming.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I had to ask that one. Okay, budget season, how's that progressing?
Yeah, budget season, we're actually just starting to get into those meetings now. We're scheduled over the next 2 or 3 weeks different meetings with our department heads. We've asked them to level fund their budget, which means to come in at the number they were last year. Certainly, we will consider any requests for additional funding, but with tight times I want to make sure that we have a very responsible budget to keep our taxes in line, recognizing the fact we have a lot of seniors and people on fixed incomes. I'm going to be taking a very close look at all the different budgets in the city. So we're starting now to get our hands dirty, figuring out where we stand with our health insurance, with the local aid projections, with our real estate projections. We're going to have increases, it looks like, to our water bill from the MWRA, and increases for our retirement obligations. So right now we're getting the numbers in, and they're never good. They're never good.
Never good enough, I understand. Okay, finally, Mr. Mayor, we've been talking, I think, since early fall about the 100th anniversary of the city of Peabody, and maybe just a comment on that?
Those are in full swing right now. Very exciting time for the city. We have our first festival coming up. It's going to be May 15th. It's our Brooksby Farm Festival, and Brooksby is one of the true jewels of our city. We're going to have a food truck festival, all kinds of games and events for the kids, and really looking forward to that. And, of course, the parade is October 2nd. We're getting all of our floats lined up, all of our performers, our bands. It's going to be a great time for the city.
Very good. Anything else you want to mention, Mr. Mayor? I haven't been here in a while.
I did want to mention something, Rick. We had some great news for the city of Peabody. You know, there's always kinds of polls and different things that come out, you know, judging different criteria in a city. But we had two excellent pieces of news that we received. Peabody, out of the 351 cities and towns in Massachusetts, we were ranked the 8th best housing market in the city of Peabody. You know, the real estate has gone up significantly in the city. I think some good things are happening. And it was great to receive that news. The other piece of information, which was terrific, put a smile on my face, was we were named the 5th happiest city in the state of Massachusetts. They looked at crime rate, divorce rate, average commute time for people who are working, the number of restaurants in a city. And we were right up there with Newton and Brookline and some other cities in town. So some good news for Peabody.
Well, you know, the 5th happiest, you know, they say this stuff, it all starts at the top, Mr. Mayor.
I am a happy person.
Yes, you are.
I am a happy person. I love my job. I have a terrific family. So, yeah, I smile right. Most days.
Thank you, sir. Yes, you do. Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt.
All right, welcome back. And time to check sports here on the program here on North Shore Today. And Rick had a couple of wild hockey games he'll get to in just a moment. Very quickly, we have a complete post up on the Bishop Fenwick St. Mary's girls game. And so often in high school basketball, one of the big rules is you can't beat a team 3 times during the course of a season. So if you play regular season twice, then you meet in the playoffs. The team that's lost those 2 games comes back and wins if they've been close battles. But not the case in the St. Mary's Bishop Fenwick game last night at Essex Tech, as Bishop Fenwick won. And they are now 3-0 against St. Mary's and go on to the Division III North Final. So congratulations to Coach Adam DeBagis and the Bishop Fenwick girls basketball team. We do have a post up on that, as they broke out to a decent lead. I think it was like 18-2 at the end of the first quarter, and then kind of held them off the rest of the way and rolled on to the win. Well, Rick, in Chelmsford, you had definitely one really critically exciting game with the Marblehead come from behind win.
Yeah, and it looked like they were down and out, down 1-0. Of course, you could never count them out. But late in the game, they worked their magic and scored a couple of goals, held on at the end, and pulled it out 2-1. And they will move on to play at Saunders Arena on Monday. I don't know the time, but that'll be up in Lowell on Monday. They'll be playing against Lincoln Sudbury. And Lincoln Sudbury, clearly the superior team last night. Foster was tired, and Lincoln Sudbury beat him 5-1. So it'll be Lincoln Sudbury and Marblehead next Monday.
Yeah, that sounds like something. Oh, and I know one of the big basketball games, boys games, coming up will be tomorrow night. That's what I'm trying to say, between tomorrow and Thursday, and it comes out Tuesday. That's weird. But anyways, it's Thursday night over in Beverly, and that'll be Brighton, the team that knocked Danvers out of the tournament, playing Salem. Salem, the team that knocked Wakefield out of the tournament earlier this week, so that's a huge game. And then the Beverly Danvers girls hockey team is in action tonight, and we'll be checking other things as well as we go through the days ahead here, as we're counting them down. A lot of teams going out of the tournament. So that'll do it for us here on North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.